This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
This is a Radio Labour World Report recorded on Friday, October 16th, 2020. I'm Marc Boulanger. In the report this week, the plight of Amazon workers during the pandemic, dying of occupational disease in the U.S., the Labour Start report about union events and singing. This is Radio Labour. The internet commerce giant Amazon is making even more money and stressing its workers during the pandemic. C. Marie Ainsborough reports.
As the pandemic encourages more internet-based commerce in many countries, labour organizations are warning about the business practices of Amazon. This comes as it was announced that Jeff Bezos, the CEO of Amazon, is soon to become the world's first trillionaire. In a webinar organized by the Trades Union Congress in the UK, the General Secretary of Uni Global Union, Christy Hoffman, described Amazon's predatory business practices and how it treats its workers. Uni represents more than 20 million unionized workers in 150 countries, many in the commerce sector. Ms. Hoffman.
Just last week, it was announced that Jeff Bezos' wealth had increased to $200 billion, which means he could pay every one of his 875,000 employees an amount of $105,000 and still have the same wealth that he had back in February of 2020. That is an astounding problem, I would say. Just last week, a committee of the U.S. Congress called for dramatic measures to break up and regulate Amazon and the other tech giants, which is a real turning point for this industry. Amazon has only grown stronger during the COVID pandemic. This crisis is radically reshaping our world, and one of its unfortunate side effects is the acceleration of Amazon's domination of our markets and many aspects of our lives, how we work, how we consume entertainment and communicate. But just to look at the figure in terms of its e-commerce, in the second quarter of 2020, the sales were 40% higher year on year, and its stock price was then and is still soaring. Uni represents commerce workers across the world. We know that the expansion of e-commerce during COVID is never going to go back to pre-COVID levels. And this growth in e-commerce has had an incredible impact on the commerce sector. The employers always say to us, well, we need to have a level playing field. Well, Amazon operates and intends to operate at a loss in Europe. It loses money. Is that fair for the brick and mortar stores, which occupy our cities and towns and what you would say in the UK, our high street? No, of course not. Is that a level playing field? Is that a playing field that we even want to occupy, let alone level? And of course, no, it's not good for our communities. It's not good for our workers. Amazon has an unfair advantage, doesn't pay taxes. Now, we already know the incredibly grueling pace of work in the Amazon warehouses. And I think we have to recognize that the growth of Amazon during the pandemic came off the backs of workers in many respects. The grueling working conditions, unrealistic productivity targets, surveillance, and a refusal to recognize or engage with unions unless absolutely forced.
You can download a copy of the TUC's report about Amazon on its website at tuc.org.uk. This is C. Marie Ainsborough reporting for Radio Labour.
The moderator of the TUC webinar about Amazon was the Congress's General Secretary, Francis O'Grady.
The TUC has long argued for fair shares from the benefits of technology. And frankly, the news last week that Jeff Bezos looks set to become a trillionaire is reason enough. But more than that, we've also argued for good business models that give fair treatment, decent work, to workers, but also do good for the community. And we've got some key priorities about fair treatment and decent work, including that right, that human right to a trade union voice at work, fair taxes. Any good corporate citizen should be paying their WACC into the pot at a time when we need our public services funded more than ever, and also tackling those bad business models. In many ways, Amazon can be seen as the godfather of surveillance capitalism that has profound implications, not just for the shop floor, but for our democracy too.
In the United States, 95,000 workers die of occupational diseases every year. That is one of the findings contained in a report recently released by the AFL-CIO, the country's largest labor federation. Richard Trumka is the AFL-CIO's president.
Today, union members all across America are heroically and resiliently battling COVID-19. Union members love this country. Union members built this country. And union members are holding this country together on the front lines. You see, we package, we print, and we bake. We stock the shelves and we lift the loads. We build the roads, we fight the fires, and we heal the sick and suffering. We stand tall, and we don't run and we don't hide from hard work. But we do demand to be safe at work. And employers are not keeping us safe. But that's nothing new. Today, the AFL-CIO is releasing the 29th edition of the Death on the Job Report, The Toll of Neglect. And the findings from this report are once again deeply disturbing and utterly, utterly unacceptable. 5,250 working people in the United States were killed on the job in 2018. That's the most recent numbers we have. And an estimated 95,000 died from occupational diseases each year. That means each and every day, on average, 275 U.S. workers die from hazardous working conditions, conditions that were preventable. 2 years before COVID-19 was declared a global pandemic by the World Health Organization, workers in construction and transportation and agriculture were at the greatest risk of dying while earning a living. In 2018, more than 30,000 workers were assaulted because of workplace violence on the job, causing serious injuries. These findings show what happens when our leaders in Washington play politics with our lives. It shows how ill-prepared our country was for this pandemic. It shows that workers have been on a collision course with the crisis we confront today. This was a crisis in the making. There were warning signs everywhere. But instead of listening to the experts, instead of hearing the voices of working people, Donald Trump and his administration decided to ignore them. The president put working people in harm's way. For nearly 4 years, President Trump has downplayed the role of safety organizations, agencies like OSHA and MSHA that are tasked with protecting workers. OSHA's meager resources kept declining, while other agencies got boosts. Currently, Federal OSHA has only 746 inspectors. That's the lowest number of inspectors in the history of the agency.
Here with his report about union events is Labor Start correspondent Derek Blackadder.
Each day, Labor Start's volunteers collect hundreds of news items about the struggles of workers and their unions from around the world in 36 languages. Here's a small sample of their work. This week, the emerging trends in our news coverage include more court decisions establishing the labor rights of people employed by online platforms like Uber and Deliveroo. This week, it was the decision of a Chilean court that established their rights as formal employees. The decision inspired the creation of platform workers' unions in other Latin American countries, including Colombia. The announcement of the formation of UNDAP there and the launch of its organizing campaign is especially worth watching and supporting, as over 200 social movement leaders have been assassinated in Colombia so far this year. Another organizing surge we are following is amongst online games workers, with new unions forming in the United States of America, Canada, France, Germany, and the United Kingdom. Pandemic-related news included national strikes by French and Greek healthcare workers over the need to hire more staff and to provide more and better personal protective equipment. The Greek workers are being supported by all Greek public sector workers, who have called a national one-day solidarity strike this week. Indirectly related to the pandemic are the hundreds of news items LaborStart is carrying about the shift to telework and its implications for workers and for trade unions. Issues common to countries as disparate as India and Canada, Spain and Brazil include the cost of maintaining a home office, social isolation, physical safety, and legal responsibility for accidents and injuries. For our Working Women pages, our volunteers found news of the women workers' only hunger strike at an Albanian oil refinery, the flood of women healthcare workers leaving Iran, driven out by low wages and a lack of support during the pandemic, and how COVID-19 is driving a new activist wave amongst Ghanaian domestic workers. The Free Health and Safety Newswire we offer in cooperation with Hazards Magazine carried stories about the pandemic-related challenges facing underground mine workers, COVID chaos at Amazon facilities around the world, and the hazards faced by child workers in Thailand as their number increases. Our current photo of the week is of a demonstration organized by Labor Against the Arms Trade, a coalition of unions and individual workers in Canada. Current campaigns that we are running at the request of unions around the world include an urgent appeal for online solidarity with Colombian miners who are fighting the imposition of what in their industry is known as the death shift. Look for details of this and other campaigns on our site. This is Derek Blackadder from LaborStart, reporting for Radio Labor.
Now here is Union Nation with an old Industrial Workers of the World song, She's a Rebel Girl. that's it. International labor news you can use. You can find our features and daily newscasts on our website at radiolabor.net. Thank you for listening. And remember, it's all about global solidarity.